Get ready for the new look Rush Hour. Andrew Jarman.
Beautiful to Jarman. Bang, another nail.
Bernie Vince.
Vince, no goal kicker. Brings the house down.
And Greg Blewett.
There it is. A magnificent performance from young Greg Blewett.
Your favourite weekend show you'll now get every afternoon. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
For Keno, with a draw every few minutes, there's always time for a spot of Keno. Play today. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to your Wednesday edition of the Rush Hour. I love Wednesdays, Byrne. Good afternoon to you as well.
G'day, Blue. Why do you love Wednesdays? Hump day.
Golf day.
Play golf in the mornings
on Wednesday.
Yeah, I get it.
And
now,
looking at you, you might have played as well, did you?
Yeah, I did play today.
Anything?
And at Glenelg, the beautiful golf club down there. And, well, I think I've found the second sport in, well, less than a week, because the other sport I found on Saturday that I can't play, I found two sports now that I just need to wipe my name off. I'm just no good at golf, no good at cricket, as
I
mentioned.
I've played golf with you. You're all right.
I'm not, Blue. Don't tell me I'm good when I'm shit, all right? Don't tell me, don't fool me, what do they say? Don't piss in me something and tell me it's raining down me back.
What? You've turned into Jars. What are you doing? What's the next sport? What's your next sport then?
Oh, I might take up badminton, I reckon. Because they'll
I'll
put a line through that one as well.
I'll beat you.
If I start losing, watch out if I've got a stick in my hand, though.
Where will that shuttlecock finish up?
Speaking of shuttlecocks.
Hey, just straightening up, Byrne. Russell Ebert's, the details around his state funeral have been announced?
Yes, it's been confirmed. The state funeral for the great Russell Ebert will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at Albert and Oval. The state government has announced this, so well done to them for organising that. And it's going to be big. Geez, there's going to be some people, isn't there?
Yep.
There'll be thousands and thousands of people there. Meant so much to so many people. And while we're on Port Adelaide, the Port Adelaide Footy Club has received the final tick of approval meeting for its planning of Albert and Oval redevelopment at the Port Adelaide Enfield Council meeting last night. So they got the tick of approval, Blue. But now they just need to source the funding for the $30 million project.
Right.
So pretty important little thing. You know, they've got the tick. Yeah, you can go and do it, but you've got to pay for it. You don't get it for free. So,
You can chip in with your new Triple M contract. You can
get
some spare change lying around.
I haven't got one, Blue. Do you want to go any further on that one? Or
has anyone got one?
I don't think so yet.
Next subject.
I don't have one.
Let's move on.
Hey, in cricket also, I noticed today that the Tasmanian Premier is going to write to Cricket Australia formally requesting that they be in consideration for the fifth test, which is due to be played in Perth. But with their quarantining arrangements and they're saying, Perth are saying we need to get to 90%, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
The teams will not get into.
What are they doing over there in Perth?
Well, but I don't know.
Are we going to cut contacts?
Well, you're in Perth.
Contact lenses.
A couple of your contacts are still in Perth, aren't they?
I've got contacts everywhere. But they deserve something.
Who, Tassie?
Yeah, they haven't had a test since 2016, I think.
Well, you know what? You tell their premier to get some of their people to turn up to,
what, they
to
don't
a
turn
cricket
up.
Match.
They love their sport.
They don't turn
they
up.
They love their sport, why the Tasmanians.
Why don't we have two test matches here in Adelaide? We get behind our test match better than anyone else. I'd love a pink ball test match, a day-nighter, and then have a day test.
I love the day test. I like the sound of that. Actually, Tasmania can get stuffed. We'll take it. How do we do that? We have to write a letter as well.
Just leave it with me.
Leave it with me. Actually, you can. You could. I thought that was Jars then. He's normally sitting there. He cannot read or write.
Oh, I look like Jars, do I?
Not so much.
No.
Well, you're tanned, for starters.
He's Australia's greatest ever bowler.
Always bowling around his legs. Yes, he's got it.
Never shy of an opinion.
No one fears Australia anymore. Everyone used to go, we're going to have to beat our best to even compete. Now they just believe they can beat Australia.
Shane Warne joins the Rush Hour.
Oh, and he joins us. He knew that Andrew Jarman was on holidays for a week. Hey, Warney, thanks for coming on, mate. Really appreciate it.
Nah, my pleasure. G'day, guys. Hope all's well.
Yeah. Hey, mate, big summer coming up, but let's talk T20. Of course, Australia are into the semi-finals tomorrow night against Pakistan. But let's start with tonight, England versus New Zealand. Geez, the Poms have played well.
Yeah, look, it should be a cracker. I mean, New Zealand always, it's really annoying that they play well, but they always seem to play well in these ICC and World Cups, and they're a bloody good team led by Kane Williamson. But I think England have got a lot of firepower, even though that Mills and Jason Roy is a big loss. I still think that England will be too strong. I think if Joss Butler gets going, he's just unstoppable at the moment. So I think they'll get that job done. And then hopefully we can beat Pakistan the following night, and it'll be England-Australia final. And then we can absolutely hammer them and get some revenge back for what they did to us. Yeah. And just get one up on them before the Ashes.
Warnie, are we doing the T20s right as an Australian team? Are we, you know, win, lose or draw tomorrow night, the rest of the tournament? Are we doing it right? Do we need specific coaches, specific teams for these sort of tournaments?
Yeah, it's a good question. Look, I didn't have Steve Smith in my side. I just didn't think he should bat number three, and especially if he gets in the power plays, you've got to make the use of them. And what I've seen over the last few years in the IPLs and even this year in the 100, you've got to have players that go into beast mode.
Mm.
And we've got Stoinis, we've got Mitchell Marsh, we've got Maxwell, Warner, Finch, we've got all these guys. And I've always believed that the best players should face the most amount of balls. So we need the most amount of beast players to be facing the most amount of balls. So I didn't have Steve Smith in my side, but giving it looking like I think we've just started to get the right balance. And if we lose a couple of early wickets, Smith can then go in.
Yep.
So I think they've got that role right for him. So, you know, maybe that's the right thing to do. But I just think in these sort of tournaments, you just need T20 specialists. Maybe it's hard for a coach to do test cricket, one-day cricket, T20 cricket. So I think maybe a specific coach is something to think about. It just makes it easier for the coaches, easier for the players, because it is such a huge thing now, T20 cricket, and we need it. Cricket needs it. So, yeah, look, it's something to consider.
Would you put your hand up, Warnie?
Maybe. If they decided to go down that and open it up and say, look, we want a specific T20 coach. You know, guys like Ricky Ponting does a terrific job as well. So, but I saw something that Punter said that he wouldn't do it, or he doesn't want to do it. He hasn't got the time. So, yeah, look, I'd definitely consider it just doing something specific. I don't think you can coach all three forms. I think it's just too much time, too hard. So maybe specific coaches for specific things, then maybe, yeah.
A huge summer coming up, of course. It's the Ashes. We love the Ashes. I can't wait for it to start. I was interested in one of your quotes the other day, mate, and you said that the touring teams don't fear us anymore. They don't mind coming to Australia and playing us here.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you know, if you think back over the last few seasons, we've lost to India twice at home, and we beat New Zealand. So we've been pretty poor the last few years. So I think because last year was India's C team. That's no disrespect to India. But, you know, we bowled in Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval. Australia bowled India out for 36.
Yeah.
36. Mm. 1-0 up in the series. We end up losing the series 2-1.
Mm.
I mean, I don't think they've been held accountable for their tactics, which is just horrific. And some of the plans that were just horrible. So, I think because they haven't played any test cricket since then, they've sort of got away with it. I'm not saying they weren't trying and all those sorts of things, but they would have chased nearly 400 in Sydney on the last day. If he didn't get injured.
Yeah.
And then they chase, you know, Tim Payne comes out and sledges and says, I can't wait to get you the Gabba. Whoa.
that turned out well.
They chase over 300 and we lose the first time in 35 years. So it's a bit like, I think all the teams now realise that they can beat Australia. And, you know, the 30-odd years before that, we built up a fortress in Australia that I think we only lost one series in the time that we played, Bluey, and that was to the West Indies in 92. So, you know, we built up a lot of credits in the bank, and for a lot of teams, coming to Australia was the hardest thing in the world. Now I think it's probably going to India in those conditions or going to England against the Duke's ball. It's no longer Australia is the hardest place to come and tour because we've been beaten the last couple of years here in Australia, two out of the last 3 years. India C team last year. So I don't think any team that comes to Australia doesn't think, oh, we've got to be at our best just to compete with these guys. They actually believe they can win. So they don't fear Australia. And I think that's a huge mindset change. When you, in any sport, if you have to travel away to play someone, there's always that home ground advantage and that fear that, geez, they're hard to beat in whatever, for Australia, in our situation in cricket. How are we going to beat Australia? They don't think like that anymore. They believe when they get on the plane and come to Australia that they can win. And that's a huge battle to overcome. And the proof's there in the last few years. We just haven't won. We've been beaten. So it's going to be an interesting Ashes series. And I think the inclusion of Ben Stokes is just such a massive win.
Huge.
He's got that ability to inspire his teammates and drag his teammates along. And I sort of looked at England's batting and thought, well, I don't think they're that good, their batting. But then when you look at it and you go, okay, well, Joe Root, Ben Stokes, Johnny Bairstow, Joss Butler in this form, suddenly you go, geez, hang on, they're actually not too bad.
Yeah, it's their top three, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the key, is their top. I think this young Zach Crawley is a really good player. I think he'll get the nod. I think Burns, you know, he needs a lot of luck to make some runs at the top. And Milan at three gives him a little bit more stability. He's come just into the side. And he gives him a little bit more stability and has performed well here in Australia.
One question is, speaking of top orders, is the opening pair. Who opens with Warner?
Yeah, well, I think it's taking a backward step going to Khawaja.
Yeah.
Even though he's got a bit of form, I think he's had his time. It's time to move on. I think Marcus Harris probably deserves another chance.
Missed out, didn't he, though?
What's that, mate?
He missed out in the recent Shield game. I think he got a duck and won.
Yeah, he did. And he got 100 the game before that, I think. So he'd probably have another chance or two leading up to that series, the Ashes. But also, I think there's an inter... I think they've got 22 players to go and play up in Queensland before that. So if he performs well there, I reckon he'll probably get the nod.
Hey, Warnie, I'd love to get your thoughts on the captaincy. So Tim Payne will get through the summer. I think he might have said he's prepared to go on after the summer, which surprised me a little bit. But would you go back to Smith?
I'm not sure. Let's wait and see what happens with Tim Payne.
But whenever he does give it away, who's the next man for you?
Yeah, I hope that Tim Payne gets the opportunity to give it away. I think he did a really good job for Australia and was a good spokesman for Australia after, you know, sandpaper gate in South Africa. But obviously the last couple of seasons, the Ashes, the tactics he had in the Ashes over there when we lost or actually drew the series. And then recently last year, they were pretty poor. So he'll be under a lot of pressure this year. If he gets the opportunity to retire, then I'll be going for Pat Cummins. I don't think we should go back to Steve Smith. I think once again, what we've seen with Steve Smith, he's the best test batsman in the world. So I think we just want to let him bat and just go back and let's try it. So I think it's time for someone like Pat Cummins to take over. I think he's got a good cricket head on his shoulders. I think he thinks about the game. He's respected amongst the group. And I think he'll do a good job.
What's going on in your life, Warnie? There's always plenty going on. I think you've just returned back from overseas, another stint over there. You've been, well, before we came on air, you were telling me how good you were playing golf. But what's going on with you, mate?
Yeah, look, I dipped my toe into the coaching world with 100. I was head coach of the London Spirit. We didn't do that well, and I got COVID. So I missed 5 out of the 8 games, which wasn't ideal. The gin, we're launching new gin bottles and cans for the summer, which is pretty cool. The golf stuff's going well. We tied for first at the Dunedin.
Yes, well played.
Thank you. Yeah. That was pretty cool. We shot 56 on the last day, 16 under, which was quite nice at St Andrews.
And you carried your pro?
Of course I carry him. I mean, geez, come on, Foxy. He needs the list.
Come on, Foxy.
It was just great competing to try and win the tournament. 3 holes to go. We were 3 off shots off the lead. And I went birdie, birdie, and birdie the last time. So, yeah, I was pretty happy with being a bit clutch.
Always been pretty good under pressure, haven't you, Warnie? But speaking of under pressure, the St Kilda Footy Club. Melbourne got over the line. Now, they are the longest-serving team since winning one. I'm just happy to get out of there, to be honest.
Oh, goodness me. I mean, we're the longest club now without winning a premiership. So there's a fair bit of pressure on the Saints. They haven't quite got everything right by the outside. You know a lot better than me, Bernie, but I mean, they just need to perform better. After winning a final last year, there was some pretty high expectations and they were pretty poor this year, I think. Finished strong, but disappointing year. They need to bounce back, have a good summer, good pre-season, and hopefully make the finals next year.
Someone special in your life, Warnie, at the moment?
Besides you, Bluey.
No. Anything on the horizon?
Single. No, very single.
Happily single?
Yes, very. I mean, how good is being single?
Well, I was single for 10 years, and I met my wife.
Yeah, don't say it was great being single either. You might get in trouble, Louis.
She listens. What about the fossil? Have you seen him lately, Sam Newman, one of your golfing partners?
Yes, I haven't caught up with him since I've been back. I've only been back for a few days, but I'm catching up with him, I think, next week and catch up on all his news. He's obviously had a tough time, but we could catch up with him.
And what about this summer, mate? You're with Fox, of course. We just got to hope that we can get around to most of the grounds. Not sure whether you're going to be heading up to Brisbane or not.
Yeah, I think Queensland, we're asking for some special exemption, but it looks like we'll be in a studio either in Melbourne or Sydney calling the game, which is disappointing. The Queensland, I don't think, opened their borders until December 17. So it's a shame that we can't be there for the first test. You know what the first test of an Ashes series, that first session.
No, I know.
The intensity and everything of the surrounding it and the build-up to it is just so, it's great to be part of it, even if we're, you know, has-beens and just off the field commentating on it. It's still great to be part of it. So a real shame that Queensland aren't opening up. Would have been nice to be up there.
And Warnie, just off air before, Bluey, and I can't understand this. You're going to have to confirm it for me. Off air, he's saying you're a member all around the world at, was it 7, 8, 9 courses? Surely that's not true.
No,
how many?
11.
Oh, 11. 11.
Golf, 11 golf.
You undercut you. 11.
Yeah, no, the annual fees aren't great.
I was going to say, joining fees and annual fees.
I know. So, yeah, it's nice when you take a guest and then they charge you about $400 a guest as well. So just to cop it in the back pocket as well. Handy playing off 9, you win a bit of cash.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, the reciprocals would be pretty good as well, I would have thought, too.
Yeah, morning. Not bad. When are we playing, Bluey?
Well, we've got to work something out during the summer, I reckon.
Yeah.
Maybe when you're here in Adelaide, day-night test, we could tee it up one morning, couldn't we?
Perfect. Let's do it. Lock it in.
We'll get you down to Kionga. And if Bernie's nice to me, I might even get Bernie down for a round of golf as well.
No jars, though.
Hey, Warnie, thanks for joining us, mate. You've been very generous with your time. Thanks for your insights. And we loved having you on the Rush Hour, mate.
No, thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it. And thanks for having me.
There we go. The best ever.
The King.
Yeah, the King. The King. You reckon... No, hang on. You reckon, is Duck the
actually,
King?
I should ask, you were going to ask, who is the actual King? Is it you or Wayne Carey?
Oh, come on, mate. I mean, AFL's played in a couple of states.
So yes!
Cricket's global, mate.
We're global. Oh, exactly.
Really, don't have to give an answer, do I?
You sound like
say
Bluey.
No more. Good on you, Warnie.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Warnie. I was checking Twitter today, Blue, and just an interesting piece of information came onto my screen, and it was from Campbell Brown.
Yes.
And now we all know Mal Brown, character, absolute character, was a showman when he played, and he was just angry. He got angry really easy. And it's just something he thought, well, the Twitter sphere needed to hear, and this is how it went. Mal just drove from Portsea, which is down the Mornington Peninsula in Melbourne, probably about an hour and just over an hour's drive to the city, to the city for a doctor's appointment for the 10th of November, being today.
Yes.
And when he got there, the lady said, oh, sorry, Mal, that's for 2022. He was only a year early. And he's written there, no doubt Mal handled it very well. So, but that reminded me that the famous... footage and vision of an audio of when reporters rocked up to Mao's house because Campbell had been in a little bit of trouble and he was overseas. I think he might have punched his teammate or something on a footy trip. And they were coming down to ask Mao a few questions about, you know, where is he? Have you spoken to him whatsoever? And this is how it went.
So we just wanted to ask you if you've spoken to your son at all.
No, I haven't. And can you go and get... and get out of my life and out of my property and ring up and make a time like every other does has got any manners. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Very polite.
Thank you, Mal.
I hadn't heard that before. No,
that goes for like, if you listen to the whole thing, it goes for sort of a few minutes and they hang around. They've obviously been annoying him all day. He's just driven in and they've stopped him at the front. And he's giving him the finger, telling him to get stuff. And then they kept at him and then he just cracked. But very funny. Only a year out.
Yeah. That actually reminds me. So Jeff Thompson, The Australian fast bowler.
She told this story.
Yeah. So he was a week early. So he was, he lives in Brisbane and he was going to Perth to do some speaking engagements for a couple of days.
Yep.
Anyway, rocks up to the airport and says, Mr. Thompson, I'm on flight QF whatever to Perth. And she looks at him with a bit of a blank face and said, Mr. Thompson, you're a week early. Your flight's next Monday. So you know what he did? He was going for a couple of days. So he parked his car in the long-term parking.
Yep.
Grabbed his bag, went to his car, drove to Perth.
From Brisbane?
From Brisbane.
Oh, drove, my went no. on,
would have gotten there the same time.
No.
Yeah, we just went on a... Just a little drive.
The plane a week later probably would have beaten the car.
Yeah. The
Furious Five. It's time for the most groundbreaking quiz to hit the airwaves.
I do not believe it.
Two callers ballot out by answering five questions. One with the most correct wins. It's time for the Furious Five. The Furious
Five. Well, this is a much sought after segment, this one. And the sponsors are coming out of the...
Okay, Jars.
I'm being Jars today. So,
no, you actually put three words together there. So that's not like Jars at all. Listen, I'm not happy with doing it, to be honest.
I don't know why it's on there either, Furious Five. I can't even spell Furious. Segment. Neither can Jars. Well, at least we've got some questions here that sort of make sense. Right. I'm not sure about number five. That doesn't really make sense. But I'll just run you through the rules as Jars does it. Hang on. We're going to bring
say
the
hello.
Hello. Who have we got playing? We haven't got their names written down.
John from Malvern. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, boys.
You ready? Ready to roll?
Hopefully, yeah.
You sharp?
Obviously, it depends on the questions, but normally not too bad.
As a bowling ball, the way you're trying. What else we got, Blue?
We've got Sean from Burton. G'day, Sean.
G'day, lads. How you going?
Yeah, good.
Shawnee.
Are you up and about? You a little bit nervous or are you right?
I'll see how the questions go.
All right.
Okay, so these are the rules. Right. This is as Jars says them. 1 point for a correct answer, minus one for a wrong answer. If you get the question wrong, the other one can answer it, and you get double points if the other person gets it right. And if the other person then gets it wrong, it's minus two. So are you with me?
Clear as crystal.
What about lifelines?
No, I think they're not with us.
What about lifelines?
There's two lifelines. You can ask anyone a lifeline. You get minus one if you get the lifeline wrong. If you get the lifeline right, you get double. I'm lost myself.
Yes, but hang on. One lifeline each.
One lifeline.
Right, because that Jars does confuse people. I think they get two.
Well, we've also got a great prize up for grabs, guys. A double pass to Boys Are Stuck in Town live at the Bridgeway on Friday, November the 19th, featuring members of the Zep Boys, Screaming Jets, The Angels, Super Jesus, Rose Tattoo and Ice House. What a lineup.
Well, that's awesome. That is a good lineup. Yep. Okay, Brad, Greg, Dad, Blue, you go.
I'm going. All right, here we go. John and Sean, good luck. Question one. A senior player from which AFL club is reportedly reluctant to get the COVID vaccine?
Use your name as your buzzer.
Which club?
John.
Yes, John?
Johnny.
A player from the Adelaide Football Club. Women's club.
Hang on.
Technicality.
Hang on. Yeah,
Producer Tom, are we accepting?
Senior player from which AFL...
Can you repeat the question, please, boy?
A senior player from which AFL club is reportedly reluctant to get the COVID vaccine? Male or female.
Yeah, my poor writing of the question means that's correct.
Take your finger off their memory.
We were looking for Carlton, but we will take that.
Yeah. I should have said men's player.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
You didn't.
No, I didn't. No.
Yeah. That's a tick for John.
You should do a lot of things. Yeah. Maybe not wear that mustard top. Anyway, question two, Burn, Greg, Blue, Burn.
Look sharp.
The Australian cricket team will be returning to tour which country?
John
was first.
Johnny?
There.
Pakistan.
John's off to a flyer.
Off to an absolute fire.
All right, here we go. Question three. Which member of the panel recently celebrated their 50th?
John.
What, 12 times too?
Yes, John?
Bluey.
Sharp.
Got to get in there, Sean.
Shawnee.
Pretty quick for you.
Shawnee, you're in good reception. You got reception on your phone there.
Well, you wouldn't think so going at this rate.
No, we'll practice your buzzer. Say Sean.
Sean.
A bit quicker. Sean.
No.
Sean. Sean. It's going to be like that. Anyway, we're still in it. It's all over. Question number four. Can you name the captain of the Adelaide Crows women's team?
Sean.
Sean.
Sean. Sean. Sean. Yeah.
Chelsea Randall.
Yay!
See? He just needed a little bit of coaching.
3-1.
Sure.
All right, name Question the five. Last Melbourne player to win their club best and fairest that's no longer on their list anymore.
Sean.
This is lifeline.
Shorty. He's sharp.
Is that Shane Woden?
No, I don't think he won a best and fairest. Woden. He won the Brownlow.
Brownlow.
Did. Yeah. It was a good guess. John, do you want to have a crack at it?
You've already won, but have a go.
Fine. I'll pass on that one.
I reckon you've spoken to him
you
before.
You can use your lifeline.
Oh, Travis Johnson.
Ooh, good guess.
That's a Brisbane. He was a good player.
No, he was a good player. Yeah. Had some issues off field. But
Bernie
okay.
Vince.
Oh,
it was
come
Bernie.
On, boys.
Bernie.
Come on, Shorty.
Yeah, sorry, lads.
Well done, John. There, that was a convincing win, I have to say. Well done.
Thank you, gents.
And what does he win, G?
He scored himself a double pass to Boys Are Stuck in Boys Are Stuck in Town live at the Bridgeway on Friday, November 19.
See, this quiz, this gets us all. Furious Five gets us
no
all.
No one can talk.
It's just a poor sort of segment, I think.
Yeah, that's it. That's it for the year.
Sure, what do you reckon, boys? Do you reckon that's it?
Anyway, see, it gets everyone. I told you, it gets everyone.
Brings us more dead air on radio than any other segment.
It's got to go.
Now on the Rush Hour, we love to hear from the fam on the Triple M text line 0488 51 047. What's come through today, Ben?
Well, I've got a little inbox here and it's actually a little bit concerning. It's about a fellow member of our team and, well, there's only...
Jazz isn't here.
So
this is another stitch up.
I've sort of given that away. Well, no, but this is a little bit concerning because this comes from I'm going to say a no name. I'm not going to name him yet. When I was a kid, Greg Blewett came as a guest to a coaching clinic I was doing during the school holidays.
Oh, I remember those.
This was after it was a bad one. He was run out for 86. In a one-day game by his batting partner, none other than the Steve Waugh, who Steve Waugh used to run a few out.
Oh,
he used to bolt. He used to bolt back to the wherever the ball wasn't coming in and save himself.
Yeah, he'd dive in just to beat.
No doubt your communication would have been down, though. Yes, no, wait, sorry.
So he's cost me 100.
Well, yeah, this isn't what the story's about.
Oh, right.
Obviously, you're in a bad mood because you're coming off that game. It was school holidays and you were doing a coaching clinic. And these were 12 or 14-year-olds. Anyway, they've got you in the middle of the ground and they're bowling at you. There's a net in the middle of the ground. And you proceeded to put these 12 and 14-year-olds all over the park. You were smacking them back at them. In the end, they were bowling. He's written here, bowling from 3 metres behind the crease because they were worried about getting hit in the head. There were kids bowling in helmets and you were just destroying them.
What's wrong with that?
Well, they're kids, Bluey. You're just damaging them.
Hang on, 14, they'd be shaving by then. So, mate, if
I'd be first shaved 2 years ago.
Well, hang on, what did he want me to do? Just sort of like expose the stumps and let, you know, one go between bat and pad? And
yes, that's what you're meant to do at clinics. Every now and then, maybe just spoon one back and give him an opportunity. You don't want him diving for cover.
I don't gift anyone anything,
and
Bernie.
And you were going to New Zealand on a tour after that?
Yeah,
how did that go for you?
I just wanted to stay
got you informed, did it? Bashing 12-year-olds
listen,
all over the
if
joint.
If they want to have a little bowl... Oh,
a little
They're there at a clinic.
You're meant to be coaching them and teaching them, not smashing them.
Actually, Boone,
what a bully.
You know what I used to do to my daughter who liked her tennis?
Yeah.
So I'd be nice for a while, you know, like the odd rally here and there. And then every now and then I'd just go bang, cross court.
Have a bit of that.
Yeah, just you got to earn it. You got to earn a point off.
Anyway, he's written here, it goes for a little bit and I've sort of wound it down a bit, but. This is one of my fondest memories of Greg.
Well, there you go.
And he's been off you ever since. He's a real tool bag now.
It doesn't say that.
Sure it does. If you got a question for Bernie, Bluey or Jazz, you can text it through 0488 51 047. And next on the Rush Hour, wrapping it up with Burns' fun facts.
Final facts, aren't they?
Oh, fun final facts.
They changed week. I don't even know if I want to do them anymore.
Frivolous facts.
I've never heard that word.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Vince's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact.
That used to say it's fantastic after that.
Yeah, no, it's not fantastic anymore. Yeah,
I don't know. I think, getting back to Warney too, I think he enjoyed your voice, G.
Oh, yeah, stop.
I think he did.
I reckon.
He got it a little bit.
I reckon he would be on your Instagram account, just sort of checking you out.
He's old enough to be right my dad. Now,
Triple M, that doesn't matter. It doesn't stop him. Triple M Rush Hour team would be Googled all over his phone, I reckon, right now. And he's probably friend requested you. Who knows? Hey, November 10 today. We're getting through the year, aren't we?
It's my mum's birthday today.
Is it?
Happy birthday,
one of my good mates' birthdays today as well. Ryan Brundle. Happy birthday to him too.
You love the Scorpios, don't you, Ben?
Yeah. Oh, they're all...
Yeah.
I thought they're all tool bags, but Brundle's not a tool, so... Just Bluey's the tool. Oh. That's what I was trying to work out.
You've called Emma's mum a tool bag.
Oh, no, you don't.
And your mum's not a tool bag.
Thank
either.
You. That's
is that what you meant?
She's the best.
Now I get it. Hey, today is Sesame Street Day, so that's fun for all the kiddies out there.
Sesame Street Day.
Here we go.
Bit of Ernie and Bert.
Oh, rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun.
Do you sing this to Harvey?
No, you know what I'm pitching? Jars in the bar singing that.
Oh, with rubber ducky.
Squeak, squeak. Rubber ducky. You know he loves that bar.
Oh, yeah.
And he reckons it's with Maz and all that sort of crap.
Oh, no.
Maz doesn't even like jars, she told me. No. Anyway.
I went to the Sesame Street Circus when it was here.
Oh, yeah, that was recently.
I took the boys. It was actually quite good. It was about 2 days before old Big Bird went missing. Yeah.
Hang on, I'm doing my sums here. Yeah. 2 days. Did you check Rory's bedroom? He's stolen everything else.
Put it past him.
It'd be a big thing to stuff down your shirt, though. Big Bird, jeez.
Big Bird got his jab yesterday. Did you see that?
No,
I
didn't.
They did a post, Sesame Street did a post saying, my wing's a bit sore.
Oh, that's good. He's getting the jab. We've all had it here.
Yeah.
1990 on this day, one of the great films was, premiered. Home Alone.
Oh.
Who doesn't love Home Alone? Now, this is one of the all-time great movies. Macaulay Culkin, obviously, and $476.7 million it made at the box office. That's US dollars, so it's probably, about 600 million Australian. It had a couple of follow-up films as well, 1992, Home Alone 2.
Home Alone 2 is better, I reckon. Yeah, that's the best Christmas movie.
Then they started getting these other actors in that they really... cocked it up, basically. But let's have a listen to someone. Let's remind us of these movies.
This is my house. I have to defend it. Excuse me, where's the lobby?
Down the hall and to the left.
Thanks.
I made my family disappear.
Kevin!
It makes you feel any better. I forgot my reading classes.
Including all my major crevices, including in between my toes and in my belly button, which I never did before but sort of enjoyed.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. Love that.
There's no one home. The house looks secure. I'm the counter kids again.
Yeah, kids are scared of the dark.
You're afraid of the dark too, Marv. You know you...
No, I'm not.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend who got nailed because there was a rumor he wore dinosaur pajamas.
Marv!
Harry?
Where the hell did you take your shoes off?
Why the hell you dressed like a chicken?
Where'd he go?
Maybe he committed suicide.
Rob,
you're gonna call the cops!
He's not calling it from a treehouse! Come on.
Hey, Kev, it's pretty cool that you didn't burn the place down.
What else did you do while we were away?
Just hung around.
Yeah. Oh, Marvin Harry.
Marvin Harry.
Oh, mate.
Dumb criminals. The world's dumbest criminals. That's a good show, too.
Brilliant.
But a little fact to leave you on this. What day is it? Wednesday? I keep forgetting.
Yeah, Wednesday.
And this is for all the roosters out there. Blue, you'd know what I'm about to say, wouldn't you? Well, you think you're a rooster.
I am a rooster.
Mm.
Yeah,
you're a not a rooster. Did you know?
That's what Catherine says.
You're like that elephant yesterday. Two drugs.
On Masters this
morning. I don't know where that just went somehow. Oh, now we've got Warnie involved, have we? In the same conversation.
Come on.
Roosters have built-in earplugs. Built-in earplugs.
What are you talking about?
It's so they don't deafen themselves when they crow, Blue. When they crow, you might know more about this, G.
Why?
They shoot out 140 decibels.
That's loud.
Which is enough to cause permanent ear damage or even deafen an animal.
Right.
So when they crow, when their jaw opens, it squashes something that blocks their ears when they crow.
What? So they've just got a couple of Bose headphones?
not Bose, you... They're not listening to music.
Oh, right.
You said earplugs.
Oh, right. Earplugs.
Earplug, you... What's wrong with him? I lost him on the elephant, didn't I? Anyway, when they open their jaw to crow, their outer ear canals close up, essentially giving them natural earplugs. So there you go.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. That
all
was
the
good.
Roosters out there. Well, I know you didn't know because you thought they were running around with headphones on. Anyway, good night, family.
I think I need to get myself some new earplugs for this show.
Stop the